chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John comes before 2 John, right?
The whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing. You can do it.
Okay.
All right. We'll be judging her when she's done.
I don't care. God loves me. 1 John, number 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys the word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him, in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name.
Hallelujah.
I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known my Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and in the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Dear children, this is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know what is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you all about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Amen. Amen.
I had to read the whole chapter because I'm going to assign that to you this week. There's a lot of meat in there. We're going to cut this apart a little bit, and we're going to try to dive into it. But one thing that kind of stands out to me, over and over and over, the words remain or remains in him is repeated. And several times, it's completely opposite of what it said before. So you go and see if you find that to be true and see if you can figure out and get to the bottom of it. maybe we'll address it on Wednesday, okay? All right. Kids, you can go. Katie, if you want to send, if you want to ask if Ethan particular attention to in order to get them right. And I wonder if it's possible that even as Christians reading the Word and knowing the Word, because I'm going to tell you, you people in this church being faithful coming to Bible study every Wednesday, I'm telling you what, you know the Word. I've said this over and over. I will put you up against any church in the world. You're doing well, and I'm proud of you. But you know, just because you read it and you show up doesn't mean that you're there. It's a continual movement. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, God is going to give us a picture of what I would say what a Christian looks like. And sometimes it's important in my mind, especially since we're starting off this year, to kind of say, well, are we there yet? Have we really started off, or are we ending up the way we are supposed to? What's going on with our walk? And so I have a number of things I'd like to point out. And if you want to open up your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. As I've told you, I have a color system that I just kind of created for me that basically shows me the important things. And when I see a color red, that means stop or don't do that. When I see green, it says go or do that. That's a command. Important notices have different colors. If you have a marking system or if you just have a pen, and I strongly many, many times urge you, mark your Bibles up so when you do die, you can hand it down and people will say, whoa, they really read this thing. I want you to mark down some of these things that kind of describe what a Christian is going to look like. That's why I had Amanda read the whole chapter, not just part of it. It says in verse 1 of chapter 2, that I write this to you so that you what?
Will not sin.
How many here sin? Okay. So basically we can throw this book out? No. What does he mean by this?
We
all sin. We all make mistakes. We all fail. We error. If we can say that you get through the day without committing a sin, none of us can raise our hands. But what I can say about all of you, because I know you, well, I don't know this gentleman very well sitting beside Lydia there. Your name is, sir?
Stephen.
Stephen. You've been here before. Once before. I remember the face. Oh, like Jack, like Jack, your face rings a bell. There you go. Yeah. Well, Quasimodo. I'm sorry. Okay. One thing you don't have is a proclivity to sin. Makes a difference. A true believer in Jesus Christ, who has been redeemed, justified, sanctified, and washed in the blood of the Lamb on the way to the kingdom, is not going to love to sin. It's just not going to happen. And when you sin, you're going to know you sinned, and you're not going to like it. People out there in the world who sin generally don't have a problem with it. They continue in it because that's what they do. So, my question to you, number one, is do you have a proclivity to sin? Does it not bother you when you do? The second thing we find in verse 3 says, we know that we have come to know him if what? We obey his commands. Okay, real quick, what are his commands? What? Love the Lord God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two wrapped up. They're not the Ten Commandments. They're not the Old Covenant, the 613 laws that are in the Old Testament, because all they were written for was just to prove that you can't keep them and that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. So keeping God's commands is basically narrowed down to what? Well, let me give it to you. Loving His Son. It's just that simple. The work of God is to believe in the one that he has sent. The will of God is once you believe in him that you will never be lost. So following the Savior, following Christ with your heart, loving him, is obeying the command of God by immersing your life in Christ's life. The next thing is kind of interesting. It says in verse 5, but if anyone obeys his word, which is loving God, God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must, read it with me, walk as Jesus did. How did Jesus walk? Was he a loner? Was he only ever looking out for himself? When Jesus walked, he was paying attention to the people who were around him. And when there was a need, he met it. When he saw suffering, he stepped in. When people were hungry, he made food. When the wine list kind of went down the tubes, he invented more. Jesus met the needs of people. And he did it from a loving heart. So, if you want to look like God and you want to look like Jesus, you want to look like a Christian, we want to not have a proclivity to sin, we want to obey his son, and we want to do what he does by walking in love. Verse 10. I told you I'm going to try to get you out of here even though we had so many things going on. Verse 8 says, let's see here, yet I'm not writing a new commandment. It's the old commandment is the message you heard. I'm writing you a new commandment. Its truth is seen in him and you because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Here's your one right here. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light. Do you love your brother? Who is my brother? Now, we can go so far as to say everybody in the world who lives and breathes is your brother, but that's not what it means here. Look around you. We are a family. We had 20 of us last week in this magnificent mansion, 9 bedrooms. We had a playground across the street with a basketball court and a fenced-in soccer field, a game room. We had a pool. We had a hot tub, and then we went to Disney. All 20 of us. Do you think if one of the kids would have said, I can't make it, you think we'd have missed them? Oh, yeah. Corey made these beautiful pictures and made these beautiful shirts, and they had McChristmas cousins or what it said, cousin McChristmas or whatever, and then she had them numbered in order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and I got a picture on my phone. If you want to just ask me, I'll show you. And they're all lined up like this, you know, instead of all, and they're all numbered.
That's cute.
Isn't that cool? I got great family. You think if number 4 wasn't there, we'd notice? Well, heck, you'd notice, and even if you weren't part of our family, you'd notice, right? Do you love one another? Twere if someone wasn't here, you'd miss them. Or if you weren't here, they'd miss you. Would you expect a phone call from somebody in the family asking where you were if you weren't there? Where were you yesterday? I'm allowed to pick on my son-in-law. You missed. Because we're family. How's it going? I bug James all the time. Where were you?
That was pretty good.
Oh, I do James real well. I knew James real well. I told you, we're twins. So whenever somebody asks you or gets into your business, does that bother you? You're like, that's none of your business. Well, actually, yeah, it is. It is my business. And it's your business. And I'm not supposed to be the only one who's getting in everybody's business. I want to know how you're doing. If I'm not calling you, because you haven't shown up in a while, there's a good chance that I've dropped you. because I've already called and called and called and called and called and called. And I just go, I'm not going to chase. But true love sticks together. Do you love one another? That is such a big thing. Verse 15, read that with me because it is so big. Do not love the world or anything in it. Jack, don't love the world. The world will always let you down. He's going, I'm embarrassed. There's nothing in the world worth having if it takes the place of Jesus. I had my neighbor come across the street yesterday. She came carrying a whole bag of onions. She gets one of these. She does that shopping online. How many people do that? Call their order ahead and have somebody pull it on again and deliver it to their house. You do?
I'll pick it up.
You know, a little bit. People do it. Yeah. I can't get over that. I keep thinking you women are selfish and just like, you know, like princesses. You know, but I'll get over it. It's not. I'm not telling you to stop. It's me. You know, it's like because we. I'll never forget my wife with four kids going through the shopping. You know, through the grocery store with two carts. I'd have to meet her after work sometimes to help her get it all pulled together. You know, and she's with two carts and four kids. It's like, you mean I can call up Walmart and I can tell them what I want and they're going to deliver it to my house? That's amazing. We are spoiled, aren't we? But you know what? I'm not taking away. That's cool. I'm glad we finally arrived, haven't we? But my next door neighbor, they keep delivering stuff for her wrong. Does that happen to you? Yeah, they deliver stuff wrong. Oh, I love when the milk comes and expires tomorrow. Yeah, that's I don't know, convenient. I asked, how much does that really cost to have them there? He said, we don't know. It's just like it just somehow it's folded in, or I don't know. But she came in with some onions, and you know, I said, well, would you like some lemons in exchange? So I gave her lemons, and we exchanged onions for lemons, and she told me, yeah, that they get that delivered to their door. And I'm like, man, that amazes me. If I want something from God, I have to go get it. It doesn't just go. Study to show yourself approved unto God, the Bible says. A workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Reading it, reading it, reading it, reading it, marking it, twisting it, meditating on it, thinking about it, watching the words and listening to the Holy Spirit as He guides it and cuts it apart and puts it back together again. How many people know exactly what I'm talking about? I didn't see every hand go up. There's nothing on this planet more exciting than Jesus Christ putting His arm around you while you are reading in His Word. Amen, Diane?
Amen.
I'm telling you, man. I just like stay there all day. I don't need anything else. But I have to be the one to first show up. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If you're focused on things in the world, if you like spending time in the world, if you're paying attention to things in the world more than you are to Jesus, you are in trouble. I don't need to say more than that. You already know. Okay. You marking these down? Good. Verse 17. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. A person who is a Christian looks like someone who does what Christ wants them to do. The will of God is different for different people. I want to share with Ethan in such a big way back there. You're not here by accident. God created you. As I'm driving yesterday on the road, I'm going out with my wife to dinner, and I'm looking at the sky, and I'm seeing the patterns in the sky with the cloud, and I could see beautiful sunshine over here, and rain starting to come in over here, and I think about the world systems, and I don't even have to get very far. The complexity of the world is insane. The moon is already up there, and it's there. I could set my clock. You could set an atomic clock to it. It never, ever, ever varies a zillionth of a second. It's consistent. All this is to show that this is not an accident, and all of this to prove that it's not an accident is to show that you are here for a reason. You are complex, but you are here to be a follower, to do what your Creator made you to do. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I never get as many hands as I would like to when I ask this question. Do you know what God's will for your life is? Do you? And I know a bunch of you are sitting there, even though your head's not going down like this, it is inside. And if you got gray hair on top of your head and you still go like this, shame on you. You should know what God wants you to do. You should have a purpose in your life. He has all kinds of spiritual gifts that He pours out. He gave you at least one of them. Are you a prayer? Are you a teacher? Are you a helper? Are you a mercy giver? Are you a visitor to the people who are in need? Are you financially supporting people in a way that it costs you something and not just a check? There are so many things that God has that He can have you doing. Do you know what God picked you to do? And if you don't, someday the good-o-meter won't be going, but the reward-o-meter will. When I get to heaven, I want that reward-o-meter to go, ding! Get it? And so I'm consciously thinking, working, planning, so that I hear ding in the far distant future. Because that ding is forever. Are you doing what God asks you to do? And if you don't know what that is, go to Him and ask. Go through the Word and ask. And if nothing else, contact me. We'll sit down and we'll talk about how to figure that out. That's my job. Okay? Do the will of God for your life. Jack has a purpose for being on this earth. So does Ethan. So does Gemma. Every one of us. Verse 20. I told you this is kind of interesting. Did you know you have an anointing? What would you think of as an anointing? An anointing. Wouldn't that be something like, remember, we anoint their heads with oil? When they would anoint a king, they would take oil and they would put it on their head to kind of mark them as being special. You have an anointing on you. A person who is a Christian is anointed. And he's anointed by the Holy One, Jesus Christ. And it says, all of you, what? Read it with me. Know the truth. I was talking about somebody who's not a believer to somebody who is. And I said, I know this person. I know they don't believe in Jesus Christ. I know they don't believe in God. But I also know they're a liar. Because the Bible says they're liars. We are all born knowing there's a God. All we have to do is look out into the sky, look out into the creation, look into our own humanness, and we realize there has to be a creator. This cannot be an accident. Take apart the most cheapest watch you can find, and you can say, oh, somebody had to make that, right? And then you take the complexity of the world. We don't even understand stuff yet. And you're trying to say, this was an accident? You're an idiot. I know there is a God. I want to know Him. I don't want to just know that there is a God. I want to know Him. And it says here that that is written on my heart. You know the truth. You know when you sin. You know when you're about to do something you're not supposed to, or Jesus doesn't want you to, that he's not going to smile about. You know it. Don't try to pretend. At least do the Casey thing. Don't lie. Lord, I know this is wrong. I'm going to do it anyway. You might as well, because, I mean, you go, how could you say that? No, I don't understand people who do something go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was wrong. Liar! You knew! Thank you for dying for that one, Jesus. We know. Get over it. All right, verse 24. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. Who's responsible for keeping Jesus at the forefront of your life?
You.
There's an old saying I remember when I was a kid that says, if you don't feel close to Jesus, guess who moved? It's not him. It's you. Although I'll tell you, he does have a proclivity to hide. How many understand the hiding of God? How many have had God hide from them? Oh, yeah, he loves doing that. God loves playing hide and seek with me because he just wants to see if I'm going to show up. Do you love me enough to come and find me? Absolutely. Last night, my wife was getting ready for bed, and she pulls her jewelry cleaner because my wife has a lot of jewelry. You know, most of it's junk stuff, but she loves it. Just look at her wrist. You'll see. You know, but she has this jewelry cleaner. She goes, this is disgusting. And I look at her like, what? And it's half empty, you know, and it's, I said, she goes, look at this. And I said, it looks blue. It looks clear to me. It's not, no, look at this. And so I did, and I looked, there's all kind of gunk flowing in it and floating in it and all that. And I'm wondering, Todd, help me out here, because you probably say, why are you telling me this?
Go get her some new
one. This stuff sells for like a buck. Why is she telling me this? I'm not telling you can't buy jewelry cleaner. Why is she telling me this? She wants me to get it for her. And you men, you pigs, and you women, if you do not have a spot on your phone under notes, secretly hidden away, where you are writing down those little suggestions so that you can keep them in the forefront when you go to the store, shame on you. Because if you love somebody, you're going to pay attention. Do you? I think you will now. Oh, and by the way, if you happen to be the kind of spouse who is keeping track of the other spouse not keeping track of what you hinted on them, you know what? You just deserve to be drowned. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Get over it, okay? You get that? We know that God wants us to stick with him, to remain with him, to pay attention to him, to do what he asks us to do, and to continue to move forward with him. Last one, 28, ties right in. And now, dear children, continue in him. Look at this. So that, not if, but when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. I want to be confident when he shows up. I don't want to go, oh no, he's here. I want to go, he's here. I understand it's difficult. I know that the trials are difficult. I know we screw up. I screw up more than any of you, I'm sure. But for some strange reason, he likes to pick the weak things, the goofy things of the world to confound the wise. And so here I stand. I heard a story about the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver. They had the mountain alpine skiing was going to be starting at the top of the mountain. They set the top of the mountain here, and they were going to have the skiers go down. And at the trials that they were running, they found that this hill was so steep, this mountain so steep, that by the time these people got most of the way down, they were going 92 to 93 miles per hour. Do you know what happens to you as a human hitting a tree at 93 miles an hour? Yeah, it ain't good. And so the committee got together and they said, why don't we make an adjustment?
You think?
And so they took it from the top of the hill and they moved it down so that they could not hit those speeds. Jesus Christ came along and he moved that marker all the way to the tippy-tippy top of the mountain, put his skis on, and ran the course perfectly, avoided every flag, and made it to the bottom. And when it was all said and done, he took the gold medal that he won, and he put it around you, and he said, "There you go. You're a winner. Stay off that mountain. It'll kill you. Just follow him. Go where he leads. He never asks anything too much of us. It's always just a little, but if you're not going to follow, you're not going to be appreciative, you're not going to have the relationship, you're not going to enjoy. All right? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you have taken care of everything in my life and that you love us and you reward us and you bless us. Continue this on with us into this week, Lord, and show us how we can serve you best. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.